Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am so sorry for the delay in getting in. Technical issues sometimes happen. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from beautiful sunny Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have a show that I have been looking forward to for a couple of weeks now. We have my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from profitablestorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello there. I'm excited about this day. We have another one of those. It's such a beautiful day. You could eat it with a spoon. It's just wonderful.
Oh, here too. Not a cloud in the sky. It's awesome.
We have some light clouds, but they're lovely and they're entertaining clouds and just a lovely breeze and cooler than it's been. So that's nice, as it is after all the early April. And it's been great. And I'm so excited about our show and our guests. Today, it's just going to be phenomenal.
It really is. Since we're starting a little bit late, why don't you just jump right in and let everyone know who we have on the air with us today?
Well, we have on the air with us today a person who is a family man, a serial entrepreneur, just really an amazing person. He is gifted at starting businesses, getting investors, working with Hollywood stars, all kinds of things. He's good with licensing and huge amounts of leverage. He has been involved with some enormous deals with recognized companies like Shrek with DreamWorks and Dell, and the new singing sensation Symphonique Miller, just to name a very few. And I know that Greg will have some amazing stories for us as we go through today. Just to go through a little bit more of Greg's background before we bring him on, he really believes and says on every call to approach every day with an attitude of gratitude. He does his best to be a mentor, a coach, and a friend to everyone in his life. He is truly a giver. He is a master of relationship marketing, which is why he's here. He believes that knowledge is the answer to everything. If you are not growing, you are not doing it right, according to Greg. And he has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on his own self-taught education over the years, and he tries to grow a little bit every day. He is passionate about everything that he does by choice. He lives a true life of freedom, has a wonderful family, and through all of this has a sense of humility. He never became one of those big, huge-headed people through everything and all his successes. One of the things he's done is to create Club Tukey, and the kids' ultimate kids' internet. If I say that right, it would help. And Tukey is a safe place for children to surf the web, also to learn financial literacy and self-development. So, Greg, I am just absolutely thrilled, as is Gina, to welcome you here to Relationship Marketing 101.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited. It's and like you guys, I have no clouds in the sky. It's a beautiful morning, and I'm loving life.
Excellent. Well, good to talk with you. It's been a long time since you and I spoke.
Yes, it has. It's amazing how time gets by. It's like, can you believe it's like April 2012?
I know. It blows me away every time I think about it. Where the heck did the time go?
No kidding.
What happened to it?
Well, you have truly had a ton of experience with relationship marketing over the years. I mean, just what Rhonda just shared is just the tip of the iceberg in your background. How did you get started in being an entrepreneur way back when?
You know, I got a really cool story as it relates to that. You guys know the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad that Robert Kiyosaki wrote?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm trying to find somebody that knows Kiyosaki because that book was written about me, and I want him to start sending me royalty payments.
Too funny.
I literally was born into a very, very wealthy Denver family, the Writer family, and my name is spelled W-R-I-T-E-R, so people think I'm a writer or an author, but I'm just by name. And my parents got divorced when I was 3 years old. And my dad was a big-time investor and started restaurants and bars and strip malls, and my whole family were building, you know, high-rises and just all kinds of stuff. Like, even in downtown Denver, where all the high-rises are, there's a square block called Ryder Square named after our family that they built.
Wow.
And my dad got me into investing when I was 19 years old. And by the time I was 21, I had my securities license and got into the investment banking world, and we were raising capital and financing early stage startup companies. So I was like an entrepreneur's best friend because I was the one raising him money. And I'll never forget that first deal. We raised an entrepreneur $6 million, and I'll never forget, I was 21 years old, maybe going on 22, and I gave him a check for $6 million, and the tears were streaming out of his eyes, and he just gave me a big hug and said, you know what? Because of you, I'm going to make my dream a reality. And so I was always exposed to early stage, you know, the new innovations, the new technologies, all the cool stuff, and it was just fun. And so I've always been just attracted to the, you know, early adopter and you know, new technology and just loving entrepreneurs. And so I think I just got the bug really, really young because my dad got me into the space.
Wow. Very different background than most people have, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I tell people, when I went out to dinner with my mom and my half, my stepdad and my half brothers, the bill was maybe $80, you know. But when I went out to dinner with dad, when I visited him, you know, once a month or on weekends, you know, whatever, the tip would be
$200. Wow. Wow.
So it's just, you know, when you live one way and you get a taste and see the other way. And again, my dad, for me, I think it had the greatest impact it had for me is it was like, you know, sometimes we think these millionaires or these people that are very successful, there's something magical about what they've done or what they've accomplished or who they are. And it was like, I knew my dad. He was just an average guy. You know, there was nothing special about him. And he actually had an alcohol problem and a drinking problem, and which is why my mom divorced him. And you're just going, you know, it's like, he can do it, I can do it type thing. So it was one of those things I think it really had an impact on me that to see that he wasn't some Superman that was doing the stuff. He was just doing it.
Yeah, that's a really powerful thing to see, such a young age, too.
Right, right, right.
And so what was your very first business of your own?
Well, that was, I bought the firm that I worked for, and I was hailed as the youngest owner of a full-service investment bank in the history of the United States at the age of 21. And I tell people that was my first big mistake in life. I've made many more since then, but, you know, you know, you're 21 years old, you're making money, you're having a good time, and next thing you know, you're running everything, and you don't have a clue as to what you're doing. But, you know, that was the other thing, too. Right at that time, my older brother gave me the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And if anyone's listening has not read that book, you got to go read that book. And it literally, you know, gave me the confidence and the willpower to buy the firm I work for. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it differently, but I wouldn't want to give back the street smarts and the street experience I got from being a young investment banker and financing companies.
Right, right. That's really a powerful experience that you had and very different from what most people have. And so it's good that you wouldn't change that. And I think sometimes people feel like, oh, I would change everything. I would change this and that. And yet what you've experienced helps shape who you are.
Right, right.
So how did relationships play into your business success over the years?
Well, you know, that's another great question, and I've been thinking about this. And you know, think about the psychology and what everyone's heard about Wall Street and the Wall Street mentality, and it really is a very dog eat dog and shark, you know, laden business. It's like there's a lot of people, and when I mean sharks, I don't really necessarily mean crooks. I know a lot of people think there's the business is fraught with crooks, but and of course there's crooks in every, you know, aspect of business, but really they're just sharks. They're just really sharp businessmen. They're out to look out for themselves and their portfolios or their money or their fun, and you really can get hurt. And so I really never got exposed to, you know, a cooperation model or a cooperative model. And when I retired and got out of that business, I kind of looked back and I said I had a drawer full of stock certificates that were worthless because we were raising money for entrepreneurs, and so most of the entrepreneurs went out of business, and I just had, you know, lost millions of dollars, and I started thinking, what is it, why is it that these companies failed, and what is it that I could do to look at that? And I kind of looked at it and I came down to two things, that it was almost in every single case it was a management issue or it was a marketing issue or the combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to my own self, yeah, marketing is something I was always passionate about. And I'd hired people, and I had people on salary. The most expensive guy I had on salary, I was paying $180,000 a year to do my marketing for me. And they seemed to have failed me from my expectations. So I decided that in my own mind, I wanted to become one of the best marketers in the country. And I didn't really care if I ever got recognized for that. It wasn't that I wanted to do it for recognition. I just realized that if you become a great marketer, you can succeed at anything and everything you do. And so as I started to divulge into, you know, the whole personal development and learning marketing and reading the books and going to seminars and studying the mentors and all that kind of stuff, every single one of them had one common theme, and that is build relationships. People buy from and work with and deal with people they trust. And so through that nemesis of retiring out of the investment banking world, getting into the other world and deciding I want to be a marketing expert, I was taught by, you know, self-taught, it's all about relationships. And I'm like, I'm a relationship guy. I'm like the type of guy that loves relationships, and I love meeting people, and I can walk into a room. So I think that's where it all started. And then from there, you just grow.
Really, really interesting. And I'm going to let you jump in here. What is it that you've been really dying to hear from, Greg?
Well, I'm just, there's so many things that are really impressive and cool about Greg. And so one of the things I love is that you have really built some amazing, huge structures. I mean, the deals that you've worked with DreamWorks and companies like that, and getting the whole Club Tukey realm, I think is just fabulous, giving kids safe internet. And then leveraging that into some really huge deals, Miss America and Shrek and all kinds of other things. And it's through all of that you have still remained a humble person, and that you have remained somebody who is pleasant to be around. And I've known some people who get or have wealth and are not exactly, you know, the most pleasant, humble people to be around. And so I would love for you to share, through all of these big, huge deals that you work and all these massive businesses that you've built, what is it that helps you keep your compass pointed in the right direction?
Well, I would have to say just the reality that, you know, you got the perception and you got the reality, and sometimes people look at you and you, they make you bigger than life, and I'm not bigger than life, and I have my challenges and struggles, and it's not hard, but I have a really strong foundation in faith, and I have this, I don't know how, but over the years and over the decades of personal development and in that philosophy that if you're not growing, you're dying. And, you know, one of my personal commitments is 20 minutes a day. I'm reading something. I'm listening to something. I'm doing something to grow my mind, to grow my attitude, to do something, to move my stuff forward at least 20 minutes a day. And I think just through all that process, you just learn that, you know, it's like I used to, you know, I like this saying. It's like what I know fills books, but what I don't know fills libraries. And I think when you have that humble attitude, It's just a much better way of life. And I, you know what I want to do? Let me share with you the story about DreamWorks, because what you just said and the deals that we've been able to do and leverage, they were by intention from day one. but they were nowhere near as easy as I thought it would be. So let me share you the story with DreamWorks, because when we first started Club Kooky, I recognized real early on I wanted to get what I refer to as an anchor tenant, meaning that, you know, because my dad and my writer family was real estate people, they were building strip malls and malls and stuff like that. And then when you build a mall, it's about getting that anchor tenant, whether that's a Sears or a Macy's or, you know, Nordstrom's, and then you can kind of lease up all the other space around them based on that one anchor tenant. So I kind of use some of that terminology. So I wanted to get an anchor tenant with my software to protect children from predators, pornography, hate, and violence. And we started looking into it, and we did our research, and we found that Shrek, at that time, this has been like back to 2005, was one of the most recognizable cartoon characters on planet Earth, like second to Santa Claus. Two, it was one of these very unique characters in that parents actually like Shrek and kids like Shrek. So for me, I'm like, because we get the credit cards from the parents, but we want to entertain the kids, it was a great thing. So by intention, I decided we are going to get DreamWorks, and we're going to do a deal with DreamWorks. And there was a couple others that we went after, we were thinking about too, but it really was DreamWorks. And so I started trying to network and asking everybody I knew, I need a relationship, I need a connection, somebody needs to get me into DreamWorks, somebody gets into DreamWorks. I couldn't get into DreamWorks, so I started snail mailing, I started emailing, I snail mailed, I emailed, I phone called, I snail mailed, I emailed, I phone called, diligently, tenaciously, for 5 months. And after 5 months, I finally got the call back from somebody who said, hey, we've been getting all your stuff, you're one persistent person. You got to come in. We're going to give you a 30-minute meeting. So I was flying higher than a kite. I went in there. I was prepared. I had done my homework. I knew that one of their hot buttons was branding. And I went in there and basically gave a spiel, my presentation. And in 20 minutes, I got a multi-billion-dollar New York Stock Exchange company to say yes in 20 minutes. I left DreamWorks. I drove out of their lot in L.A., flying higher than a kite, thinking I have hit the mother lode. This is it. It's over. You know, life's going to be easier from here, and I'm going to make $100 million. It's incredible. I got one of the biggest brands in the entertainment space with one of the biggest New York Stock Exchange companies in the entertainment space to say yes in 20 minutes. Well, it literally took me a year and a half from that day to ink a contract. And you're just going, wow, wow. As an entrepreneur, you're going, at what point do you give up? At what point do you back off? At what point do you don't follow up?
Right.
At what point do you quit believing? At what point does the frustration set in? And literally, I went through all those emotions, all those feelings, and it took us a year and a half to do that deal. But now here we are, you know, 2012, 5 years later, and I'm still, to this day, leveraging that deal. Because when people see that you closed a deal with DreamWorks and you did a deal with a company that, they're like, well, if it's good enough for DreamWorks, good enough for me. It shortens my sales cycle on every other deal I've done. It gives me ultimate credibility, and
right.
It was worth it. And but it was all by intention, and it all happened because of tenacity.
And there are a couple things. There's the intention, which is really strong, and the persistence. But you also ended up missing the launch of Shrek 3 because of how long this deal took to work.
Correct. Correct.
Right? And so I'm sure there had to be moments when you went, is this really going to work? I mean, did you have some moments like that while you were trying to actually get the deal done and get the licensing and all that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
You're right.
The fact that we missed the launch cost us a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of time, a whole bunch of distribution. We ended up getting stuck with a whole bunch of Shrek CDs. And, again, going back to, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. There's things that I learned from that experience that I would definitely do different. And, again, there's a book that I read called, I think it's called Bag the Elephant. It's one of my favorite books. And it's one of these, here's the philosophy. The philosophy is if you want to build a significant company, you know, in the $100 million range or the $1 billion range, you have to do it by bagging elephants. And then you have to do that by, once you get one, you have to maintain that relationship and really infiltrate and build the relationships and then leverage that into another elephant or another elephant or another elephant or whales. I call them elephants and whales. But, and that's in that I got into Time, and I got to deal with Time, and I got into Miss America, and then I got McGruff the Crime Dog, and then I ended up getting into some celebrities. And, you know, I've leveraged that to just build this up. And so now I have this foundation that really is in position that, you know, given, you know, the continued hard work and the team and the people that we do really have the potential and the opportunity to build what could be a multi-billion-dollar, you know, conglomerate over the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we've got listeners going, "What the heck's a Club Tukey?" So maybe it would be a good idea for us to explain what is Club Tukey.
Tukey. Tukey is the acronym for the Ultimate Kids Internet, T-U-K-I, the Ultimate Kids Internet, and it comprises of two pieces of technology. One is some parental control software in the form of a kid-safe browser. So just like Internet Explorer or Firefox or Netscape or whatever, we have a browser that's designed for kids, and when kids use this browser, they can only surf pre-approved, pre-screened, child-appropriate websites. And then we have an educational gaming system where kids play educational games. When they complete a game, they earn money, and the money goes in their very own bank account. And as they build up their bank account, they can take this money and go into an auction that we had built just like eBay, and they can bid on and win real stuff. So they're playing educational games about math and geography and internet safety and technology responsibility and health and nutrition. They earn 50 cents. They earn a dollar. And when they build up their bank account, they can go win stuff in our auction. Now, our financial model, just as a side note, is that they can't actually win stuff in the auction unless they become a paid Kids Club member, and we charge $97 a year for them to be able to, you know, win things in the auction. So it's like the ultimate Chuck E. Cheese for the Internet.
I love it.
Oh, how cool.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, it's really impressive. And you and I know that you, in going after some of the partners, because I was listening to this in the Hollywood Profit Faucet materials, that you had people going, can you guarantee that a kid will never run across something? And what kind of, you know, issues did you run into as you were trying to get backers and partners and so forth for getting this fabulous tool up and out to the masses?
Well, you know, you want to know what the biggest issue was, which was totally unforeseen and totally just blows me away. But the biggest unforeseen issue is I've spoke to thousands of parents at PTAs and at meetings and on stage, and I could ask every parent, how many people want to protect their children from predators, pornography, hate, violence, and all the inappropriate content on the Internet? And if I'm asking that right now on this radio show, every parent should be raising their hand, and usually every parent does raise their hand, right? But then they just don't take action. They just, for some reason, there's some psychological problem. And there's a whole bunch of reasons, actually, but they just don't pay for safety. They feel entitled that they should be protected, or they're afraid of technology or whatever it is. But the whole selling safety and charging money for safety, there's been no one really in the Internet safety space that's really done very well, but yet the problem's not gone away since the Internet started. There's still predators. There's still bullying. There's still pornography websites. There's still sites on growing this and growing that and drugs and there's still inappropriate videos on YouTube you don't want your kids to see, but yet parents just don't take action to do something about it, which is one of the reasons we started Club Tukey and said, okay, let's market to the kids, and then we'll get the kids to bring in and engage the parents on an educational side, and we've found that parents are more likely to pay for education than they are safety.
Wow. That's really amazing. Certainly something that would have been tough to foresee, that's for sure.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very, very enlightening. And you know, you learn and you course correct. As an entrepreneur, you're always course correcting and you're always looking at you know, ways you can make things more optimized and keep going and never give up. And again, our mission is so strong that our mission is we want to protect and educate kids online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our vision is to build the world's largest online network for kids, built on the foundation of safety and education. You know, and we have a little logo that's a little smiley sun, and I want our logo and our brand to represent family values. I think I've been fortunate that I have an incredible wife. I've been married 26 years. I have five incredible children, and I really believe in family values. I really believe in, you know, the idea that, you know, honesty and integrity and trust and morals and values, and I think that somehow, some way, this culture that we have, a lot of people have got away from that, and parents are, you know, unfortunately, they're getting divorced and they're not there. So for me to provide an online platform with that as our mission and vision is very, very important to me and everybody that's on our team and to our shareholders and investors and everything else.
And how do companies like DreamWorks play into that vision and that mission?
You know what, they were very supportive of it, but the problem with dealing with these whales and these elephants is they're so big and they're so departmentalized. You know, as an entrepreneur, you and I can talk, have a conversation, and we can mobilize very, very quickly. In an organization like that, they cannot. It's impossible. They just can't. And like for us, because they have an online interactive division, and they have an offline, you know, division, and they have the DVD division, and they have the gaming division, and then you get one online area, and then they've got to go get working with the other area and the other area. And what's unfortunate, and I experienced this with MGM, and I experienced this with the people that have, is it Batman? I can't remember who had Batman. But they're kind of competitive. It's like the online division is competitive against the offline division, it's competitive against the interactive division, it's competitive against the gaming division, but yet they all work for the same company. So to try to get some of these divisions to work with each other within a big organization was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, wow. So, and I think, again, hindsight 2020, there's different ways you could deal with that and address that going backwards. Of now that going into it, but you know they were supportive, but if you did, one of the big mistakes I think we made is that we should have hired maybe one person, maybe even two persons, and their entire job was to cater to DreamWorks, push them, show up at their offices, meet them, and continue to build that relationship. And again, as a CEO, I put the deal together, but I truly didn't have the time to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then the other big issue was they have turnover. These big companies, they have turnover. So the first thing that happened is the person I was dealing with for the first 3 months, 3 months later, they disappeared. And so I had to start all over and sell a whole new group, and then did that. And then there was even some turnover within that group, and not maybe necessarily a turnover where they left or got fired or whatever, but they moved from this position or got promoted to this position, and then you had to deal with new people. And it's like when that happens, there's nothing you can do about it other than just deal with it.
Mm-hmm. That's
and because it's all about relationships, if there's turnover happening, you don't really have relationships between a business and a business. It can't happen with a relationship between a business and a business. The relationships are with the people. This business owner to that business owner, or this employee to that employee. Turnover just means you got to start all over again from scratch.
Right. So, and when I teach marketing, one of my main things I teach is this, you know, this whole relationship building, and it's all about most companies. I'm gonna go as high as over 90% of companies don't spend enough time developing the relationship with their existing customers, which would then lead to more purchases by their existing customers and more referrals by their existing customers. They're always chasing the new customers.
Yep.
And one of the things, as a marketing consultant, we go in and go, look, you need to spend more money on your existing customers.
Yep.
It's such an untapped resource, isn't it?
Yes.
And it really involves, the more that you deal with the bigger companies, I mean, everything involves planning, of course, but don't you, you know, think it's like a higher degree of being planning and having tenacity and being organized and having great follow-through?
Yep. It's all about intention. It's all about strategy and then tactics. To me, it's strategic and then a tactical, you know, that's where it all starts. It's all about the intention of the strategy and really clarifying who do you want to do business with. What does it look like doing your research? You know, here's a great tip for anybody. Let's say I go into a company, I want to help double their sales. Like as a marketing consultant, I will go in and I'll help them double or triple their sales within a year to 18 months. And I'll first by say, look, list the top 20 companies, and maybe it's 100 companies, but typically we can get it down to 20 companies, that list the top 20 companies that if you could get their business, you could double or triple your sales. So we list those 20 companies. Then we try to nail it down in an order of sequence of priority. Then you do some research and you go read their press releases, read their annual reports, read their marketing material. Then when you put your presentation together, you need to take wording right out of their marketing material, right out of their press releases, so they're tapping each other on the shoulder going, man, this guy's speaking our language. That's exactly what we put in our last press release.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they're looking for what, you know, they're looking for this stuff. And if you start talking their language, you're more likely to get in there. And then it's about building the relationship, over-delivering and continuing to build that relationship.
Awesome.
So for someone who's fairly new in building their business, what can they do to make sure that they're really working with existing customers to get them to buy over and over again instead of focusing on new customers? What can they do?
Well, to me, it's really about providing value and not selling all the time, providing additional value, additional content. Like, again, in our case with Tukey, we provide, even though our software doesn't, you know, protect people on the Wii machine, but we'll tell parents, if you want to keep your kids safe on the Wii or the PS2 or the PlayStation or Facebook or Twitter, and we'll provide value and information to help them in all these areas. And then it's constant communication, it's constant drip marketing, and it's constant providing value and over-delivering, and it's all about the experience. Here's another golden rule of marketing. If you were to ask your customers on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, I'm a raving fan and I want to tell everybody I know about you on the one side of the angle, and then I'm a 1, or I'm not a raving fan, I wouldn't tell anybody about you, how would you rate yourself as a fan of ours? And your goal is to get everybody between the 7 and 10. And that all is about the experience that you're delivering, the customer service that you're delivering, the value that you provide, the communication that you provide. And when you can get people up to that 7 or 10, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's
what
right.
I call being an evangelist. Your goal in your
right.
business is to take every single customer you have and turn them into your biggest evangelist. Let them bring you your next customer instead of going out and having to find that next customer on your own.
Yep, amen to that.
The other thing that's really been unique about your businesses is that while your businesses are by design making money, they're really designed with doing good in mind. It's what I call social entrepreneurship. How does that play into what you do in building a business?
Well, I think it's just that thing where it's the time in my life, and it has been for the last, you know, over a decade at least, but it's just so much more fulfilling. And it's like the passion is what drives you to get up out of bed, and it's not work anymore. It's fun because you know that you're leaving a legacy or creating a legacy. And for me, dealing with cartoon characters and fun and games and education, and, you know, is my primary business. And then, of course, you know, with our celebrity endorsements and what we're doing with Symphonique and that kind of stuff, it's just so much fun. And it's just that it's kind of like, okay, this is where it all boils down to. At some point, you get to a point as an entrepreneur, it's about legacy. It's like, what am I leaving behind? It's not about just personal satisfaction anymore. It's like, what can I do to really leave a mark? And I'm so passionate about kids, and I love kids so much that I want to teach kids. I want to teach them everything, right? I want to teach them how to make money. I want to teach them capitalism. I want to teach them money and finance. I want to teach them all this stuff. So it's just part of the passion for me. And I think every entrepreneur gets there at some point in their career.
Yeah, and that passion, it's so powerful. And it's really passion that people respond to, and especially in terms of bringing in endorsements or celebrities or other partners, the passion is going to carry a lot. I mean, you still have to have a plan, right? But the passion has made a big difference for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So
I really believe
I
really believe that every single business could really be built to do good and make money at the same time. That you don't have to have a 501c3 not-for-profit organization to do good, that you can do good in for-profit businesses. Mm-hmm. How does your plan change if you're planning on doing good and making money? What do you do different?
Actually, I don't know that it does. I agree with you. I think through the intention of that, you know, it's like the shoe company Tom's Shoes. Is that, are you familiar
mm-hmm.
with that company?
Oh yeah,
my favorite example of social entrepreneurship.
Yeah, there's a great example, and that's just one of many, right? So I think that, again, going back to relationship building, that's one of those subconscious soft sell ideas that when you say I'm going to donate money and you actually do it, or you do something that is meaningful for society and our culture and for whatever, that people are endeared to you and they want to do business with you and they're going to support you and they're going to talk about you and they're going to tell people about you. So from one perspective, it's actually a marketing strategy from that standpoint as well. So it's just a win-win-win. And then the whole law of reciprocity, you know, I believe in certain biblical laws, and it's like when you do stuff like that, it comes back to you.
It really does, many, many, many times over.
Yeah.
Many times over.
Yeah. And it's really, you can build it into any business. Never feel like it has to be, I either do this or I do that. Like, I either have to run a soup kitchen that's a not-for-profit at all, or run a business and never the twain shall meet. And that just is, doesn't have to be the case at all, and certainly hasn't been with you, Greg.
Right, right.
Well, you have some really interesting things that you are doing with, again, with helping children build self-esteem with a particular clothing line and with a particular star. Would you be willing to share about how that whole deal with Symphonique and BYOU has come about?
Yeah. It's another great story. So it's a very painful story how it kind of came about. But so we had secured $4 million of investor capital in, like, about August of 2008. And part of our deal was that we put the money into a fund, and we would draw the money out as an as-needed basis, and we were just really cooking and doing good, and the Shrek deal just happened, and we are doing a deal with Time magazines. And then anyway, you guys all remember that fourth quarter of 2008 when the banking business blew up, and Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, and boom, boom, boom. Well, the fund that we put our money in blew up, and we woke up in late December and early January 2009 and had $2.8 million in there, and one day it was there, next day it was gone.
Whoa.
So we got put into a hurt locker big time. We ended up laying off 20 people in that January 2009 and did what we could do. And now you're sitting here, you know, on your knees praying, going, well, what just happened? This is incredible. And so I started thinking, again, through intention and through going never give up attitude, and so, okay, what can we do to drive millions of kids of traffic to Club Tukey and to our websites and not have to spend the money and not have to market? And what can we do? And so my thought was, well, I got to get Hannah Montana. If I could get Hannah Montana to partner with us, to be my partner, and to endorse us, that would be great. Well, right about that time is when Hannah Montana started, you know, saying some stuff and doing some stuff. You're going, okay, it's not Hannah Montana. Wait, we're not Hannah Montana. I got to get the next Hannah Montana. And again, and through maybe intention, through luck, through blessings, through prayer, I don't know. You know, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but at some point, I ended up getting introduced to this guy named Percy Miller, and he said, what do you do? And I gave my little, you know, elevator pitch, and I said, my goal is to protect and educate kids, and I got this, and this, and this. And he goes, let me see it. So I showed him what I did for DreamWorks, and I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who he was. And he's like 6'4". He's an African American big guy. And I thought he was an NFL football player. And so he says, after I showed him what I did for DreamWorks, he goes I want my daughter to be your spokesperson. And I go, really? I go, why is that? He goes, well, she's going to be the next Hannah Montana. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, pull up her MySpace page. So I pulled up her MySpace page, and at that time she had 9.6 million views to her MySpace page. And I
said, oh my goodness!
And I remember pointing at him, and I said, don't mess with me, man. I've had a rough 2009, and we're talking about protecting and educating kids, and I don't need anyone pulling my chain. He goes, no, let's do a deal. He goes, talk to my assistant, and he walks off. And when he walks off, he had this other big guy with him that was like 6'4", that was like 380 pounds. And I go, who was that? And she goes, well, that was Master P. And I'm like, Master P? And actually, I said, Mr. P. I go, Mr. P. And she goes, not Mr. P, Master P. And I'm like, who's Master P? And she's like, you don't know who Master P is? I'm like, no. And so turns out he was, you know, he's one of the most influential African Americans to ever hit the hip-hop scene. And
That's at one point
had built his net worth up to over $650 million. And he had his own television network, and you know, he was just a huge, huge guy. I actually read online that he was actually listed as one of the top most, in the top 100 most influential African Americans in United States history.
Yes, he was, which is interesting. I never would have thought it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So, you know, and so he's got this daughter, Symphonique, and she ended up getting a contract with Nickelodeon. And she has her own television show on Nickelodeon that launched this last February. So she's been our spokesperson. So the bottom line with that is we ended up negotiating a deal for her to be our spokesperson. we ended up, I ended up over-delivering. One day I said, hey, you know, her website could use a makeover. He says, well, why don't you do that? So I did it, no charge, no cost, and I redid her website, and I did a much better job than what they had. And then I said, I could do this, and I could do this. And so over time, I earned the trust. And the next thing you know, we're managing her websites, we're managing her Facebook, we're managing her social media, we're managing her fan club. We built and managed all these websites and manage it all. And I gotta try to hit home the significance of this, because I don't even know that you can get it, but maybe this will help. But, you know, it's like if you really thought you were, like, going to be business partners with the next Justin Bieber or the next Hannah Montana, it's just amazing. And I got a call one day after Percy gave me the usernames and passwords to her website from this lady. Her name was Deanie. And she goes, this is Deanie, and I work for Percy, and I've worked for Percy for 20 years. And she goes, do you understand what's going on? I said, hi, Deanie. She goes, do you understand what's going on? I'm like, well, what do you mean, do I understand what's going on? She's like, you know, Symphonique, and this is Percy's daughter, right? And I'm like, well, I think I know what's going on. And I said, I've never done this before, and it's, like, really surreal, you know, because I've been to Sony's offices on the 57th floor, and I'm talking with them about her career, and I've been on the Nickelodeon in her dressing room, and I've been involved in conversations that, you know, it's just, like, incredible, amazing. And she goes, no, she goes, you don't get it. This is Symphonique's daughter. This is going to be one of the next biggest teen superstars on planet Earth. She sings, mm-hmm. she acts, she dances. She's already got a fan base of millions of people. And Percy just gave you the usernames and passwords to her website. You have the keys to her website. She goes, do you even get how much trust that is? He trusts you with his daughter's website. And you can do whatever you want to those websites. And at that point, it hit me. It was like, wow, I have really, really earned this guy's trust, that I now have the usernames and passwords to her Facebook. I can go on her Facebook and post to her Facebook. I can put, and so I remember somebody said to me, well, how do you have to get approval to put something on her website? It's like, I look myself in the mirror and I make sure I'm in integrity with what our agreement is, and I put it up. I don't have to get approval. I manage her website. They're on our servers. And it was like, wow, this is just amazing. It's just incredible. So this ride has been incredible, and then that turned into one day he said that she wanted to start an apparel line, and I said, I got the world's best idea for an apparel line. I said, we'll make more money with my idea, and we'll have more impact on kids with my idea than you'll ever make with apparel. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, I've invented a hang tag reward card, and what I want to do is have a little card hanging from the apparel, so when they buy it at Walmart or Target or Kohl's or wherever, it says go online and create an account at Tukey, and you're going to get $50 of Tukey Moolah, and you're going to get 3 free songs from Symphonique. So it drives people offline, online, kind of like the Webkinz model. And then when they come online, then we can get them into our educational area. We can reward them with Tukey Moolah. We can build a relationship with the parents. And now every time somebody buys a shirt, they can do this. And so he goes, that's a brilliant idea. Let's do this. So the next thing you know, we end up forming a company, and we bought a brand called Be Your Own You, and we started this self-esteem apparel company that's now turned into a self-esteem company, and there's a magazine, and there's workshops, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's a website at beyourownyou.com, and now it's this huge agenda to, you know, empower young girls and to help young girls with their self-esteem, and I got the biggest, huge teen superstar in the world as my partner and wearing the apparel. And then on top of that, I said to Percy, I said, maybe you guys could write a song, Be Your Own You, that goes along with the apparel line. He goes, oh, yeah, sure. So they did. They came out with a song. They played it for Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon picked up the song as the theme song for her show. So now Nickelodeon's playing the Be Your Own You song every single day. It's incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a great song. I just shared it as an inspirational song of the day on one of the sites I'm involved with. It's a terrific song. I love it. Yeah.
I mean, it's like fairy tale, and it's like a fairy tale story.
Yeah.
And in one relationship, it's like it hasn't started paying off yet because there's all the hard work, but the foundation's there, the branding is there, the thing is there. And again, who's going to be in relationship with her 2 years from now? I am. Who's going to be in relationship 5 years from now? I am. Who's going to be in relationship with 10 years from now? I am. And you can think back to the Beyoncés, the Janet Jacksons, the Dion, you know, these women that become big superstars. What is that worth? What is that like to have that relationship and to keep that trust? It's got to be worth you know, it's got to be worth the impact of millions of kids, and probably tens of millions of kids that we're going to have some impact on in a positive manner. And then you take that to a financial situation, it's probably worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And relationships that you can't get anywhere else. Why? Because I had the intention, we decided we were going to do it, and we got it done.
Mm-hmm. And I love how everything you do starts with intention, starts with mindset. You package that into your products, even though if it's not a mindset product, there's still a piece of that in there. And it's so important, and that intention is what's gotten you on your path and has kept you strong on that path.
Yeah.
And really, boy, the stories you've just shared, they really show the power of relationships. My goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely do. Hey, you know, I know that we're running close on time, and you have a conference coming up in May, and I would really want you to share that with our listeners, if you'd be willing.
Oh, the Angel Money and Crowdfunding Bootcamp.
Angel Money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd, and it's going to be here in San Diego, and the website's called angelmoneybootcamp.com, and basically, there are dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of entrepreneurs that need capital to grow their business, to do something and to do that kind of stuff. And one of the things that we do is we have an educational business where we teach entrepreneurs the language of capital, how to raise capital, how to structure their deals, where to find the capital, all of this kind of stuff. And I got to tell you, I am so excited about something that's going on within our legislation and some new laws that are going to be signed very soon. I think it is this biggest game changer we've seen since the 80s. And basically, there's in the new Jobs Act, there's a new bill in there. It's a crowdfunding bill. And maybe you've heard of crowdfunding, maybe you haven't. Crowdfunding's been very successful and very cool for people to raise capital by offering rewards and selling products or albums or services or ice cream cones or whatever it is for your product or service, but not necessarily your equity. Well, there's a new law that the House passed, went to the Senate. The Senate rewrote it, passed, sent it back to the House. The House passed it, and now it's on its way to the President Obama's desk for signature. That's going to allow companies, entrepreneurs, to raise capital through crowdfunding techniques on the Internet, $2,000, $4,000, $10,000 at a time to help fund their company and by selling equity. This is huge. I'm gonna be doing a whole webinar on this, and I'm gonna be creating products and doing videos on this. This is so big because there is nowhere. In the 80s, when I had my firm, there was 500, 1,000 firms like mine that you could go to and go, raise me $500,000, raise me $250,000, raise me $1 million, raise me $5 million. And there was probably 1,000 firms like mine, and that's what we did. Today, there's no one. There's not one firm. It's like if you need to raise $1 million, $250,000, there's only place you can go is your friends and family and your extended network, and then you can get creative with credit cards and networking and different events. But there's nowhere to go. And now we're going to have some place to go. And it's gonna be like everything else. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be that money just falls on your plate. But the fact that you can utilize the Internet and Facebook and Twitter and social media and your website and your list and your email list to raise your capital, to fund your company, and to create jobs and assimilate this economy, game changer. Big, big game changer. I'm actually going to write a book called Saving America One Crowd at a Time because I think this is going to save America and save the entrepreneurial spirit.
I'm glad to hear you say you're going to write a book. That's one thing. I'm like, why does Greg not have a book? That's crazy. Of course, that's what I teach people.
And when are we expecting this to actually come out?
Well, the law was passed, and it's on its way to the president's desk, so it could be signed. You know, I got to figure they're going to be using this as a political football because Obama's got a lot of stuff going against him with, you know, the Supreme Court hearing and the economy and the price of gasoline and Obamacare, and this is probably the one thing that they've put through, and they've got to pass both on the Senate and the House, and I'll bet you're going to be hearing a lot about this because this literally is the job creation mechanism that's needed to stimulate the economy.
Wow, yeah, it really is. It's been badly needed for some time. That's awesome, Greg. Keep me posted on that. I would love to tell people as you get your book done, as you get your courses out there and whatnot. That would be really huge for my audience.
Yeah. No, and so what we're going to do at this boot camp is we're going to teach people how this is going to work, what they have to do to get prepared for it, you know, from a legal standpoint, from an auditing standpoint, what they have to be prepared for. And what's cool about it is that some entrepreneurs maybe only need 10 to 20 grand. Others might need $1 million. Well, you can do both through this crowdfunding type stuff. And so it's just a great way. And, again, it's like you said when you made my intro. It's the only reason you're not accomplishing what you want to accomplish because you don't know how. It's like I tell kids, hey, the only reason you're not making $100,000 a year is because you don't know how. Because if you knew how, you'd be doing it, right? Well, yeah. Well, it goes. That's the same with almost everything. Whatever you want to accomplish, you can accomplish if you just figure out. You got to know how. Get the knowledge. Go pay the people. Get yourself in the position to learn from the people that can teach you and save you time. Because you can do it on your own on the internet. That's the cool thing about the internet. Everything's there, and you can pretty much find everything for free at some point in sub level.
Yeah, if you want
but
to stumble around.
If you want to short circuit things, go get a mentor, get a coach, and have them teach you how to do it and save that time and do it. And it's knowledge is everything.
I've heard a number of radio shows and TV shows lately who are saying that the single best investment that baby boomers could make right now is to invest in mentors and apprenticeships for their grandchildren. That if all of the baby boomers could go out and find mentors and apprenticeships for their grandchildren that deal with entrepreneurship, we would not only be helping the economy right this minute, but that by itself would ensure the economy of the United States for tens of decades to come. And I so agree with that.
Right. Absolutely.
It's not just been on one show. I've heard this on four or five shows now where big popular talk show hosts are really recommending that baby boomers invest in mentors for their grandchildren. What a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think one of the reasons or something to kind of tag onto that is like I was saying to somebody the other day, back when I had my brokerage firm and we were managing people's money and investments, there used to be these things called blue chip stocks. You remember that term, blue chip stocks?
I do.
Right?
I do.
And so that was like, well, we're going to put some of your money in these risky deals over here, and then we're going to put some of your money, most of your money, in these blue chips, you know, the Bear Stearns, the Bank of America's, you know, the Lehman Brothers. You know, it's like, and then when the market blows up and Lehman blows up and Bear Stearns blows up, it's like there's no such thing as blue chips. There's risk everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you have to invest in knowledge and then the security, right? The security of I'm going to work for this company for 20 years and retire. It's like that age and day is gone. And that mentality,
really
that culture is not here anymore. So this is the era of the entrepreneur, and they got to learn this stuff.
And it's very different than at any other time in history. If we don't invest in entrepreneurship, if we don't get the knowledge into the hands of our future entrepreneurs, where are we going to be 20 or 30 years from now? If you look at where we're at now, it's not going to get better until we get entrepreneurs the knowledge they need.
Right.
So there's a number of links that we've mentioned on the show today, and before we end the show in a few minutes, I want to make sure that our listeners really know where to go and find all this great stuff we've been talking about. Rhonda, I know
sure.
The link that was in the show notes for the Hollywood thing isn't working, but if you want to recap the URLs for everyone, that would be great.
Oh, I just didn't get that set up in time, but that will be Hollywood Profit Faucet teaches you how to get the Hollywood stars involved and big name stars involved with your company, and that will be at profitablestorytelling.com/Hollywood. Club Tuki is TUKI.com, the Ultimate Kids Internet, TUKI.com, and you can find that if you have kids, definitely get them involved with Club Tuki. And then the Angel Money Bootcamp is angelmoneybootcamp.com, and I'm just getting that updated into the show notes as well with that link so that you can find Greg. And it's just been so amazing to have you, what incredible stories that you have been telling to us and to our listeners. I'm really grateful.
And let's make sure we also get beyourownyou.com.
Beyourownyou.com.
Another really great site to go and check Greg out on. My goodness, Greg, you have just got your hands into so many different things. How do you juggle it all?
That's the serial entrepreneur, isn't it, right there? Yeah.
Well, so. That's for sure.
Great team. That's how you do it.
And, you know, they all really harmonize with one another. Every single thing I've heard you talking about is all based on two things: really making a difference in the lives of our kids and really helping entrepreneurs get more success in growing their business so that it, too, can make a difference for kids. So it really does harmonize around your passion for helping kids more than anything.
Right.
Yeah, it definitely does. So that's just great. And really, any of you listening, really make sure that everything in your business and in your life is harmonized. There are no little boxes to compartmentalize aspects of yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Greg. I've loved the stories you've told. And for our listeners, hopefully you really got a good perspective on how relationships really do cause the success for your business. Rhonda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern with another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, go check out the show notes from today. Check out Club Tukey and Be Your Own You and all the other great projects that Greg has shared with us today. Thanks so much, Rhonda, for arranging today's show.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a fantastic day, everybody.
Thanks, Greg.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.